Galatians chapter 6. I want to preach a simple message on sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, and I want you to look at verses 7 and 9. Galatians tells us, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. Understand that it is always a good thing to do a good work. It's always good to be zealously affected unto a good work, Paul tells us. And yet, sometimes we can find out that we are discouraged in our work. Look at these verses here. First of all, very simply, I want us to look at the sowing. And we see in verse 7, where he tells us, whatsoever a man soweth. All right? So, to grew up across the street from an auto factory. So, this whole farming thing is still something that isn't in my DNA. I guess I should say we're pastoring a church, or I'm pastoring a church around a farm. So there's all kinds of farming that goes on, and I look at some of those guys when they're planting some of their crops, and I think, man, those guys are diligent. But you know, when you are sowing something, you're planting something. So we plant flowers, we plant plants, we'll plant all kinds of things. You know, so of course, when you are planting if you want to have some carrots, you sow carrots. So there are things that you sow. Now, in the Bible here, when he's talking about sowing, he's talking in the terms of moral planting. There's two kinds of sowing spoken of here in verse 8. There's those who are sowing to the flesh, and there are those who are sowing to the Spirit. Now, the flesh, if you look at the context here, the apostle, under the inspiration of God, had already told us the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. If you remember, he tells us in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are. And then in verse 22, you have the fruit of the Spirit. So when we are sowing, we are planting. And of course, when we think about our flesh, we're talking about that part of us that's very much part of the sin nature. And it's easy for us to do things in the flesh. And when we come to this whole idea of sowing, if we're going to do things in the flesh, we're told there in verse 19, that would be things such as adultery, this chapter 5, verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And notice it says, and such like, which tells us that these are just representative of many other things that could happen. You know, sometimes one of the biggest accusations people have about applicational preaching is that, well, if the Bible doesn't specifically mention something, then, you know, it's you have a green light to do it. And yet, there are things that would fall under certain categories of the works of the flesh. Now, for instance, if you hold your hand here, let's go over to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 14, it tells us in chapter 6 verse 14 that we can, according to the end of verse 14, sow what? Discord. Now in verse 19, we can sow discord even among the brethren. So, does God love that or hate that? Well, it says that that verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination. And he points out the fact of this idea of discourse or strife. And it's interesting because the idea is to strive or to have strife. Now, a different word for strife is used over in Proverbs 16. If you look over in verse 28, it tells us that a man soweth strife. And so when you sow strife, he says that it can separate, a whisper separateth chief friends. So there is a sense in which you do that. Look over to chapter 22 of Proverbs. Chapter 22, verse 8. We can sow or plant iniquity. And if you sow and plant iniquity, you're going to reap vanity. So here's this whole idea. The sin nature, the flesh, can be sown. And we do not want to sow to the flesh. We want to make sure that we are not sowing to the flesh, but that we're sowing to the what? Spirit. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, he that soweth to the flesh, verse 8, he that soweth to the Spirit. And to sow to the Spirit is to do things that's going to produce love, verse 22 of chapter 5, and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such, there is no law. So we find here that we're talking about the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit as opposed to the flesh. Now again, coming back to chapter 5, verse 16, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So it's important that we are planting the right kind of things in our lives. And when we plant those right kinds of things in our lives, we're doing that which pleases God. Now, when you go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this gives you an illustration of how you can plant in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, it tells us that Apostle Paul says, I have planted. Right? And Apollos watered. What was Paul planting? He was planting the gospel. He was planting churches. You know, we talk about church planting. I know when we came here back in 1986, the only person my wife and I knew to even put as a reference so that we could open a checking account was our real estate agent. And I had met a couple people and along the way. But the fact was, we were planting a Bible-believing church. And so you kind of, you say, well, you're planting it, you're sowing it. And that's what Paul says, I am sowing this. And certainly, that is a spiritual work. Another thing we could see, and I won't turn you to all of these verses, Mark chapter 4 talks about the sower soweth the word. Now, we can sow the word of God. We can build up each other in the faith in with our words. We can give the gospel out. And of course, when Jesus gives that sowing of the word, he talks about four results of that. So that, you know, some people are going to reject it, some people will accept it. But whenever you're giving the word out, I appreciate those of you that have already been diligently going out and giving gospel tracts and inviting children to Vacation Bible School. Thank you for doing that. And when you do that, you are, in a sense, sowing the Word in the heart of people. Now, they might not read the Word, but hopefully they'll pick up that gospel tract and they'll read it. Or maybe you can sit down with them and say, okay, here, I have a verse in the Bible that I want you to read. And so you might show them the Word. You're sowing that in their hearts. Now, it's also interesting, if you go back over to Galatians chapter 6, what he also talks about is sowing money. If you notice in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Galatians, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That communication there has to do with giving offerings. We're told in verse 10 where it says there, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread. So in other words, we have a way of sowing the seed. For instance, when we are giving money to these missionaries, we are sowing to that ministry. So it's important that we understand. So this is the whole process of sowing. Now the second point, though, has to do with, and shouldn't be. So you're going to reap what you sow. And it tells us there in verse, whatsoever a man soweth, that, what's the next word? Shall. So in other words, this is a given. If you sow certain things, you're going to reap certain things. Now what we're talking about is a harvest, right? So we can talk about having a harvest. So if we plant that carrot, that seed in the earth, we get carrots. If you plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. You don't typically, when you plant tomatoes, get cucumbers. Now you might think you were planting tomatoes and ended up planting a cucumber seed, but you know, so again, I'm getting way out of my field of expertise. But, you know, whatever it might be, you are going to reap what you sow. And it's important that we understand that our sowing will, not might, will reap. So you mark it down. Now, obviously, negatively, if you sow to the flesh, what are you going to reap? What does it say? Verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So there's going to be a harvest of that. And that's going to involve having destruction in your life. And it will certainly be that which will create some havoc for you. And the Scripture tells us if you reap to your flesh, don't be too surprised when you see destruction following you. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that everything that bad, what seems to be bad that happens after us was a result of the flesh, because Job did not sowed to his flesh. Job sowed to God what was right, and yet God had to teach him some lessons. But we do understand this. We understand that there is a sense in which what we sow is going to produce a harvest. You just mark it down. So for instance, when you look here, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, planted, what was the harvest? What did Paul see as a result of his continuous sowing? Anybody? What's that? Okay, how do we know that? The whole New Testament. We look at the New Testament. There were souls saved in Rome. And he didn't even visit Rome yet. There were souls saved in Corinth. There were souls saved in the Galatian region. There were souls saved in Colossae. There were souls saved in Ephesus. And that was a result of his sowing. Now, could those people have gotten saved some other way? Maybe so, if somebody else would have sold it. But Paul, because of his consistency in sowing, he reaped a harvest of souls. Or, for instance, when we talk about sowing the word, now we're going to produce some kind of a harvest. Now, some people are going to be, they're going to be very shallow, and the word of God to come, and Satan to come away and snatch it away. Jesus is very clear on that. Not everybody responds to his word. But some produce several fold. Remember that? And when somebody is responding to God's word, that is going to produce a harvest. There's a reason why in our church we preach on the Bible. We're a church where the Bible is preached because we want people to hear the word. They really are not always that interested and probably seldom interested, in my opinion. But what is important is that we understand that God's word has something very definite to say. And so, when you sow the word in your children, then that is a good thing. When you sow the word in your friendships, if you sow the word with those who are at work, now obviously you want them all to be saved and respond to it, but you know, many times people are wondering, what does God think about this? Well, let me show you what's in the word. Jeremiah was asked by, I think it was Zedekiah, the king, and said, is there a word of the Lord on what's going to happen? And you know what Jeremiah said? There is! And he gave him the word. And it's important that we understand that when we sow the word, it is going to produce some kind of a harvest. When you sow giving, you know, you reap what you sow. And of course, you see this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. The whole passage there is speaking about when you are faithful in your gifts to the Lord's work, it does reap a harvest. And it does make a difference that we are trying to help people financially. Now, Brother Nathan and I talked to somebody yesterday, so I better clarify this. And for his sake, we talked with someone yesterday. And honestly, this guy was basically saying, you know, I need some help financially. But the last thing I wanted to do was to give this guy money so he could go out and buy some drugs that he had already admitted he had problems with. So, you know, sometimes we got to be careful and good stewards in what we give and so forth. But we do have to understand that that there is a reaping of the things that we sow. In my file, I came across a study, and I forget the guy's name. I couldn't find the title page of this, but it was on family principles and how to help families and counsel them and so forth. But I wanted to read what he said about considering choices that determine our harvest. Now, listen to this very carefully. I think this is very important. He states, according to Galatians 6, your present and future condition and circumstances are the direct result of your past and future sowing. Now, I want to read that again. Your present circumstance, what you're dealing with right now in your life, and your future condition are the direct result of what you have done. All right? So, let me ask you a question. I sow tomato seed in the ground, and I go out the next day and say, where's my tomatoes? Now, anybody know how long does it take for that tomato plant to come up out of the ground? Well, I ask, when you first see it coming out of the ground, you go, whoa, there's something coming out there. But how long does it take for those ripe tomatoes? So in other words, you've sown a tomato seed, but here's a law of the harvest. It takes time before you see the result of that sowing. And what he is saying here is this. What you are now presently dealing with in your life is a result of past sowing. He says your present and future condition and circumstances are the direct result of your past and future choices. So your future circumstances are the direct result of what you are sowing today. Okay, now think about this. So the past is already done. But we're having to live with some of those choices we've made. But what if I started making good choices? And I started walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's not going to undo some of the things that were done in the past. But it may truly benefit us in the future. So he says you must understand the negative law of sowing and reaping, which we showed. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap some bad things. He said, you must understand the positive law of sowing and reaping. That means if you sow positively today, you're going to see some positive results of that. Now, you continue to do bad choices, you're going to have bad results. So he says, the present reaping should teach me now to sow now what I need to. So in other words, the fact that I am having to suffer some of those negative consequences because of some choices I made in the past should be an alarm that says, hey, it's time to quit making those kind of choices and make these kind of choices. Now, he goes on and says this. Listen to this. He says, we go to a counselor or a pastor and we want him to immediately set us free from the results of past sowing. I run into this all the time. People want me to somehow fix everything that they had sown in their lives. He says, we want the problem solved and removed from us right then. But that is an impossibility. The counselor can talk with us, pray with us, and comfort us, but he cannot set us free from the harvest of our past sowing. I'm sure, he says, that Lot, Achan, Samson, Jonah, and a host of others wished that they could have been set free from their sowing and harvest. But what they had chosen and sown was what they also reaped. Now it is hard, and he gives an illustration here, it's hard to get a family to see that what they are sowing right now, their children will be reaping 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. We cannot sow a mediocre life for 20 to 25 years and then to expect to produce a spiritual mature family for the Lord. We are daily sowing words, actions, deeds, thoughts, attitudes that will be reaped in the lives of our children. And they will be reaping for years to come from the result of our sowing in their childhood years. So if you are wrong, so you know, you say, man, I can't believe I let this happen. So if you're wrong, you admit it. You must try by God's grace to listen to someone when they say that something's wrong. Too often we are living on past glory, past days of serving the Lord, and we are coasting while we are planting slothfulness and carelessness. We may be reaping good from the past and at the same time sowing complacency and emptiness in our daily lives. The future will bring the results of our wrong sowing or our right sowing. Because just like you have a law of gravity, there is the law of sowing and reaping. And of course, God in His mercy can help us and protect us. But sometimes He just lets us deal with the consequences of wrong choices. So that maybe we might come to Him and say, Lord, help. I've made a mess of things. How many times have I heard that by people? I've made a terrible mess of things. So we see the sowing, we see the reaping, but quickly we see the encouragement. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay? That word weary, it means don't lose heart. Don't give up. You know, doing the right thing is not always easy. He says, but you just make the choice right now by God's grace. I am not going to make those mistakes again by God's grace. I'm not going to live after the flesh. I'm not going to live after carnality. I'm not going to live after those things that will destroy me. By God's grace, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to do the right thing. I cannot go back and unscramble the eggs. I wish I could. There are people that their lives have, they've made such a mess of things. I can't go back and take those drugs out of their system. I cannot change that unfaithful affair they had. I cannot change the fact that they put bruises on their little ones. I can't make that go away. But what they can do is to confess that sin and make things right with God and right now begin to make the right choices, because the choices and the sowing you do today will show up sometime in the future. So don't lose heart. Verse 9. So, but I don't see any change. You know, we want immediate change. That plant's not growing. But it's only been 6 hours. Right? I want a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich now. But you're going to have to wait or go to the grocery store and buy somewhere else. So, he says, in due season, you just be patient. You just wait. And you may not think that it's working. You know, that's what That's what people will say to me. Well, I tried to act the right way and tried to treat her right or him right, and it's not working. Well, you're talking about years of this wrong sowing, and you want immediate results? In due season, in God's timing, you will reap if you faint not. But if you continue sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But thank God that God is someone who is the God of new beginnings. And if we would just start now by God's grace, changing some of those habits, we will see some results in that. Now, regarding our vacation Bible school, I think we're sowing some good seed here. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged because you don't see results. We may not see results next week. I hope we do. But in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. All right? Amen? Lord, we thank you for your willingness to minister to our hearts. Now, God, help us as we go our way to do some canvassing, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will be meeting out at the church.